This is Ali Ciardo, and this is Photo Field Notes, stories and inspiration from professional photographers. My interview today is with David Bean from Visual Reserve in Nashville. David has a really interesting and inspiring story. He's done photography work for brands and celebrities, including Nikki Taylor and Taylor Swift. If you're listening to this in iTunes, go to photofieldnotes.com to check out the show notes, photos, and other resources. This is Ali Ciardo, and I'm here with David Bean from the Visual Reserve. Okay, David, let's start at the beginning. Let's hear your story.
Well, I was born at a young age.
Very young age.
Yes, I was born at a young age. My life, I mean, I really honestly can't give you my full story because it would literally take you a couple hours.
Yeah, I read that you're writing a book, actually, about your story, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm writing a book about my story. Hopefully it'll be out this year, maybe next year, but basically the long and short of it is grew up on these hippie communes, seen some crazy things, grew up in the middle of Boston and all over. I'm 48 years old and I've probably lived 40 different places in my life. I went to 6 different high schools. I just lived quite an adventure, which, like, I mean, I could go into some funny stories, but they're honestly, they're funny to me now, but when you think about them, they're actually kind of sad things as a child and all. But I basically, long and short of it, barely graduated high school. I just never went to school. In fact, I failed 11th grade because I lived a block away from the school, and so I would just walk the first period, walk back home, and go to sleep.
Wow.
So I spent my whole teenage years just as a punk rock. Not alcoholic because I never had an addiction problem, but just drinking, doing drugs, chasing girls. Like I wasted the first 20 years of my life basically. And I'm lucky I even graduated high school at all, but I did. Never went to college. Then I, at the age of 20, I found God. I became a Christian. I went to a 9-month Bible school. That's the full extent of my post high school education, is that 9-month Bible school. And then I met a girl, and I was like, okay, I've got no career. I love this girl, you know, decided to get married. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get married. I've got to do something. I can't just be, you know, a landscaper or a church janitor for the rest of my life. And so I ended up, my wife and I were making these zines, like these underground magazines, and that kind of led me into the printing industry. And so got a job at these printing companies, and then got promoted and all, and got into graphic design, and then we moved to California. I started doing graphic design freelance. Just like the first month I was doing it, I got all these great work thrown my way and started doing design work for a lot of musicians and stuff and got pretty good at it, and then moved back east, moved to Nashville, and did graphic design for several years. And then I had a epiphany one day. I had this successful design firm. It was called, Deep End Graphics or Deep End Media. Then it was DavidBean.net, then it was the Visual Reserve. And I was literally at the peak of the success of my design career. I was doing websites and all kinds of stuff for ESPN and Fender and all these big companies. And I was on the beach vacationing with my family, and I just said, man, I am so tired of sitting behind a desk all day. I'm so tired of, like, you know, I had two employees. They both worked out of their house, and so I never saw anyone. It was very lonely. And I'm like, man, I do photography sometimes, and that's more exciting. I love when I'm shooting around people more, and it's something different every time because, you know, I did photography as well a little bit off and on. So I just decided right there on the beach, I'm going to shut down my design firm and just do photography full time.
Wow.
And so it was a leap of faith and a little bit stupid. And that's how I kind of lived my life. My life has been giant leaps of faith done out of stupidity.
So are you glad? Are you glad you were stupid, or do you think you would have done it differently?
No, I think I've always had this attitude, and I don't know where it came from because I pretty much raised myself as a kid. Like literally, I was the adult, and my mom was like the kid. And so I don't know where I got this from, but I've always thought I could do anything. Like, and so I always thought, like, well, if that person can do it, or if someone else can do it, I can do it. And so I've literally, and I have just huge faith in God. And so between my huge faith in God and just thinking that, like, well, I can do that. Anyone can do that. I can figure it out. Between those two things, I've always kind of got in over my head, and it's always worked out for me. You know, you fail a little bit along the way, but fortunately I've never failed to the point of, like, you know, tossing some thousands of dollars or ruining my career. But I've gotten where I am because I've always gotten in over my head. Now, I don't recommend that for everyone, but that's just my story. And, you know, I'm not even recommending it to anyone. I'm just telling you that's what I did.
Okay, so jump in and tell me what that transition looked like.
Well, basically, like I said, I was at the peak of my design career. I'd never made more money doing design in that year. I was like, you know, it was like looking up, but I was just burnt out. And so I just emailed my clients and called them and said, hey, I'm shutting it down. I'm just doing photography. And, you know, fortunately, everyone responded well, and I got a couple photography jobs from my existing clients. Like, literally, within my first month of shooting full-time, I had a full-page photo in Elle magazine. I was shooting, like, the X Games for Fender, and all kinds of just, like, really, really amazing jobs came my way. I mean, it was kind of, I don't know what the word is, it's not unusual. It was very unusual. And so I think a lot of it, though, was based on the relationships I'd made with my design clients.
So let's back up then and look at those design clients. So basically, you immediately jumped into kind of doing the commercial work because you were working with those clients in the first place.
Right.
Now, mm-hmm. So that's another issue, though. Where did these clients come from? Did you jump in and have these relationships with these big clients from the beginning? Had you grown the web design over the years and kind of just networked your butt off, and that's where they came from? Where did those relationships come from?
Well, I mean, it's funny because, like, these interviews are always amazing because they do interviews, and it's like people want to learn, how did you get where you are? And I'm sort of like the wrong person to ask because I never did anything the right way.
No, I think it's fun just to hear the story, though, too.
Yeah, I never marketed my butt off. I still to this day don't market my butt off. I'm trying to get better at it. But it was a lot of relationships I had made. I honestly think just being a decent person, being a good person, being nice to people, treating people well, I think that just goes so far in life. If you're just a decent, good person and you get along with people and you just make it a point to just meet as many people as you can, you know, I guess you could call that networking. That goes far. And I guess that's what I attribute a lot of it to. I don't mean to sound preachy at all, but I attribute a lot of it to God and His providence. It's just a combination of a lot of things that don't make sense on paper. Because like I said, I maybe have spent like $1,000 my entire career in marketing, and I've been doing shooting for 10 years. So.
Wow. Okay, so where did it go from there then? In that first month, you had some really big wins, and then how did you kind of keep that momentum going?
Well, I honestly believe that, you know, the best thing you can do is just do good work. So I just tried really, really hard to do good work. And this was, this was 10 years. I've been shooting for 10 years now. So that was the internet, you know, we had the internet, but we didn't have like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that. And so it wasn't, you know, as far as getting the word out, it still kind of wasn't there. And so doing good work was really the best thing you could do. And people were still, you know, you had to mail books to people across the country if you wanted them to see your work, or spend thousands of dollars to be printed in source books. And so I really just relied on relationships and connections and things like that. But it took off. It did. It just took off. And I would say for the first couple of years, things were amazing and great. And then I'd say, you know, maybe like the third or fourth year into it, my lack of marketing kind of caught up to me. And so I started experiencing like the ups and downs of the freelance life, where you'd have, you know, really, really great months. And then you'd have like literally like 2 months where you didn't work at all, and it was really scary. And about that was the point where I realized that I can't just be on autopilot. You can't just, like, doing good work is great, but it's not enough. And so that's when I started to try to, you know, reach out and email and market more. And then, you know, along came Instagram and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. And I still struggle a little bit with marketing because I don't know, I don't like a lot of the social media that I see. I see a lot of photographers just bragging and boasting, and it really rubs me the wrong way, the way a lot of photographers use social media. And so there's been times when I've completely gotten off it and said, I'm not going to promote myself at all. You know,
yeah, I get
I'm
that.
I don't want to be that guy. And then I've just had to realize that, you know, it does work. You know, when you say, hey, look what I'm shooting, you know, it's like, it sounds braggadocious sometimes, but it really does work. And I just want to make sure I do it the right way, and that I don't come across as obnoxious or egotistical. And so it's a balance that I still to this day struggle with. So
do you think most of your work now still comes from referrals?
I think it comes a lot from Google, a lot from people telling their friends, telling their friends, telling their friends. And just when people do find me, I think, I wouldn't have said this up until like maybe 2 years ago, but I'm finally really happy with my work. I mean, I've always been happy with my work, but I've always admitted like, yeah, man, I'm just not there. And I'm not saying I'm there really, but I am finally, like, in the last 2 years, really happy with my body of work. And so I'm really comfortable with the fact that when someone does come across my site, I feel like I have a good chance with them because I'm happy with it. And that took me a while to get to that point.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. How do you feel like you came to develop your own personal style and taste? Because I do think you have a pretty, like, I think you have a style that is very David, like it's very you. So What was it kind of just found within you? Did you try to turn off the other people or did it just kind of come out of years and years of experience? Was there a process to that?
Yeah, there actually kind of was. A lot of it is from the graphic design experience. As a designer, you know, you just learn to see and think certain ways. And even when I shoot now, I shoot with a, you know, my whole thing is that I try to tell people is as a commercial artist, I'm not a fine artist. I don't shoot for my own, like, you know, to tickle my own fancy or whatever. I shoot to make people money. And so as a graphic designer, you have to think the same way. You're hired to make somebody else money. And so I try to mix art and commerce in a way that looks really nice and works. But when I was a designer, I made a purpose to not ever, like, look at other designers' work. Like, so many designers would, like, read Print Magazine and How Magazine, and they'd flip through other websites, copying other people's websites. My inspiration, purposefully, I always tried to draw from, like, nature, cars, fashion. Like, I'm obsessed with cars and fashion. I love Marc Jacobs. I love BMWs. I love nature. And so when I was designing, I remember, like, one time I just saw this old muscle car on the highway. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that thing's amazing. I took a picture of it. And that muscle car inspired me for, like, months. I went online and I searched muscle cars and got all these pictures of muscle cars. And that really inspired my design rather than looking at other designers. And so I tried to do the same thing in photography. Rather than, like, looking at other photography, I just try to, like, be inspired by, like, the real world and, like, fashion and just people. And I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I try to be original by not, you know, it's by not copying someone else.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's walk through kind of the creative process for you. So walk me through what a shoot might look like from the time that you get contacted from a potential client through kind of putting together the creative vision through doing the shoot.
Well, it's all different. I would say, you know, speaking of just, here's the thing about music shoots versus advertising shoots. Advertising shoots, they hire you, they spell it all out. All you do is show up. You just show up and everything's taken care of. But for music shoots, it's, you know, most of the time, it's me having to come up with, like, the vision, the style. Even if the label, you know, says, oh, we have this vision, we have this style, they still leave a lot of it up to you. And so first thing I do is I just, you know, I ask them what the vision, what the style. I'll ask to send over a Pinterest board, like, show me some stuff that you're thinking, you know, show me photos you like of color, show me your lighting you like, show me mood you like. And I just try to go through and pick and choose, like, okay, they're feeling this mood, they're feeling the style, these are the clothes, whatever. So we do that, and I listen to the music of the artist. And then I kind of just think, okay, is this going to be a studio? Is this going to be a location? Is this going to be outside? Like, what's it going to be? What's the budget allow for? And then I just kind of, you know, don't do anything until the last minute.
You work your best.
I'm a bit of a procrastinator, but no, I just figure out what works best for them. I try to make sure that I'm making the shoot about them and not about me. I don't like when you look at a photo and you're like, oh my gosh, the lighting, the photographer is amazing, blah, blah, blah. I want to look at a photograph and be like, that person in the shot is amazing. You know, look at their eyes. And so I try to make sure, make it about them and not about me. So.
So then basically, so you're then putting it together, they come, they do the shoot, and then you deliver, they choose what they want and go from there. Anything else?
Yeah, and then sometimes I'll retouch the photos myself. Sometimes a label or an agency will do it. But I've been doing Photoshop for, you know, 15 years, and so I'm pretty good at doing that. I love working in Photoshop. I really do. Some people hate it. Like, my wife hates working in Photoshop. She shoots some stuff, like, not like what I do. She shoots more like families and lifestyle stuff. But I love the post-process. I love going into Lightroom and doing, I do about 75% of my work in Lightroom. Yeah, I do batch process everything, get things just kind of like 75% there. And then for the final photos that they pick, I'll take them to Photoshop and do the rest. And I really love it. I love that whole process.
Yeah, and it's amazing how, you know, how much of a style really does come out of that. So you can take the same image and get such a different style from that. All right, I have to ask, obviously, when you led from commercial work into, and you're in Nashville, so it seems like kind of a natural segue to start photographing musicians and celebrities, and then you were doing some sports, which it sounds like came out of that client. But was that you going out and building relationships with people in Nashville? Where did the celebrity work come from?
I would say it started with Nikki Taylor. She's and I feel kind of old when people don't know who she is. I don't know if you know who she is, but she was the hottest, like, hottest supermodel of the 90s. Like, there was no one bigger than her. Like, she's in the Guinness Book of World Records for being on the most magazine covers at one time.
Wow.
She's huge. And so one of my relationships early on was with her management, and so I shot her a couple times. I went to Thailand with her for 10 days for a social justice thing that she was doing. And so that was my first celebrity thing with her. And I think those kind of things just lead, once you have a celebrity, it kind of leads to more. And it's kind of like a domino effect, like, oh, you shot her? Well, and then I swear, like, because I have Taylor Swift on my site, I shoot more. I mean, I'm not even kidding. I have two coming up. I shoot more 14 to 21-year-old wannabe Taylor Swift country singers. I mean, they all come to me. I mean, I'm not, but it's just crazy. Yeah, once you get, you know, once you get a couple celebrities, the rest just kind of follow. It's like, oh, well, they're good enough for that person, they're good enough for me, you know.
And how have you been over the years with confidence? Have you always felt really confident going into these shoots, or have you ever felt really intimidated by any of the clients or any of the projects?
I don't feel intimidated, but I think if you're not nervous before a shoot, then something's wrong. I think, you know, it's just normal. I've learned that some of the shoots that I felt the most confident about went the worst. And so I just feel like you don't want to be too overconfident. I feel like you should always be a little nervous, but at the same time, I think you should have confidence that I've done this a million times, I can do it again.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know, there's just a fine line somewhere. I guess it's more preparation. Sometimes it's like, oh, I'm so confident, I don't need to prepare, you know.
Yeah, good point. No, that's good to hear, though, because I think we all kind of get that. And I think you're right. It's that kind of energy and anticipation that comes out. All right, just a couple more questions for you. I noticed that you're doing some video now, too. How did video kind of enter the mix for you?
Well, it was kind of out of necessity. Basically, I don't want to use this word lightly, but I'm kind of a prophet when it comes to trends. I saw the video thing years ago. I said, man, like, photographers need to do video. If they don't, they're going to be out of business. And it hasn't gotten to that point yet, but I saw it a long time ago. And so I kind of begrudgingly, I don't hate doing video at all, but I like doing photography much better. But I was like, I need to kind of get into this world. And so I just made myself available to some people. And actually, Nikki Taylor, again, was the first video thing I ever did. I did a ad spot for a perfume brand that she launched. And then I did a music video, and then I've done a lot more than it's on my site. You know, over the years, you kind of don't put things on your site that you don't like as much anymore. So I've done quite a few music videos and things like that. I just see it as a skill that most every photographer should have, because nowadays some people are coming to photographers and saying, we want you to shoot the photos and the videos. Or maybe they're not asking you, but if you can offer both, they will love it because it's kind of a better of a package deal, or it's cheaper to do both. Or I just feel like it's a necessity, because the whole world is going towards screens and away from paper. You know, billboards, kiosks, you know, you walk through an airport, and instead of pictures, it's video. And so, you know, I mean, eventually, sadly, you know, books and magazines will not die off completely, but everything's going to screens. And so, if you don't know how to shoot motion, then you're going to be left behind a little bit. So tomorrow I'm shooting a music video for a friend of mine. So,
how do you make that leap, though? Did you look for a mentor? Did you take classes? Or did you teach yourself?
I had some friends that I could ask some questions, and I just Googled a lot. You know, when I started photography, I didn't know a single thing about it. But I just went to, you know, I sat on the floor of Barnes & Noble and Borders for hours and just read books and magazines. And, you know, I never wanted to be a hack. I never wanted to be a guy that just did it for the wrong reasons. I wanted to know what I was doing and know the right ways. And so I've always tried to keep up and just keep relearning. And just because the video, especially, things change so much. You got new cameras and new technology, and it can be really overwhelming. But
I like your attitude. So you will never stop learning as things change. And you have
exactly.
to. You really have to, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
If you had to summarize your experiences and give, let's just pick like one piece of advice that you want to pass on to other photographers out there. I know you've already given a lot of great advice. What would you say to them?
First thing I would say, without even thinking about anything else, is don't go into debt.
Yeah.
I never went into debt. I still to this day don't have any debt. I have a mortgage that I'm paying off, but other than my mortgage, my cars are paid off. All my equipment's been paid off. I've done a couple times the like pay no interest for 6 months thing, but by and large, debt is if you have debt, when the times get slow in your business, when you have no work, debt will kill you and take you under. If times get slow and you have no work, but you're not in debt, you can survive a couple months, you know? And so that's number one. Number two is just, like I said, be a good person. Don't be a jerk. Treat people well. Be fair. Be honest. Because that just goes so far in life. That just really helps you in relationships and in general. And then don't copy. Have your own style. And just, you know, here's one thing. Here's the most important thing I would say. Trust your instincts. Because that's, I think, is my biggest strength, not just in photography, but in life, is trusting your instincts. I'm an amazing poker player, but I barely know the game. I don't know how to read people. I do everything wrong in poker, but I played poker like 12 times, and I've come in the first 10 because I have such amazing instincts. Like, I just trust my instincts. Like, if I get a 3 and a 7, most people would just throw those cards away, but something inside of me would say, no, play this card, and so I trust my instincts. When I hear that little voice in my head, I go with it.
It's so awesome. All right, David, where can people find you online?
My website is visualreserve.com. And then Instagram and Twitter are David Bean, all one word.
Perfect. And I'll put those in the show notes too. Well, David, you're such an inspiration. I love your attitude. You have probably one of the best attitudes that I've come across. I just love your kind of like, go for it, but you're smart about it. You're like such a great guy. So I wish you the very best. And thanks so much for coming on and chatting with me today.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. It's been a pleasure.
If you liked this episode, I'd love for you to leave a review on iTunes so others can find it. On next week's episode, Heather Woodward is a newborn and family photographer based out of Chicago.
I didn't want to go and learn from someone else and just do what they were doing. I wanted to learn on my own and do what I felt looked great to me. I didn't want to just replicate somebody else's work.